Welcome to Wolf Den Saturday Set, the best show on television, and we are here today to talk about the best sporting event in the world, the WS Cox Plate Kingzone. How do I find you today?
Yeah, fantastic. I'm revved up for we're going down to Melbourne tomorrow, a couple of days down
tomorrow
in Melbourne.
Morning, yep.
Should be fantastic. WS Cox Plate is the class race of the on the Australian calendar, and great field this year, I thought.
Greatest 2 minutes in Australian sport. How do you feel about that statement, Fizz? Greatest
yeah,
2 minutes in Australian
sport? Yeah, great. I don't know about greatest 2 minutes in Australian sport, but yes, it looks a fantastic race this year. Mm. Plenty of good horses.
All right, we've got a lot of feature races to unpack. We're going to get straight into it with the Cox Plate. Let's bring the AI screen up to help us start unpacking it. And I'm going to lean into you here, the King Zone.
Right, now, let's check it out. As you can see up the top there, we've got the 7V Sestina with a bullet rating of 102 from Prognosis, Broadsiding, and then Pride of Jenny, which is a lay. Let's go through them. So let's have a look at the market first. So I'll start at the top with Mr. Brightside, who's $8.50 at the moment. Amazingly enough, Mr. Brightside has run first or second 15 out of his last 17 starts. What a record. It's 15 out of 17.
Great horse.
It is incredible, especially at such a high level, all group ones, group twos. Mr. Brightside's a seven-year-old now. I don't think he's racing well enough. I don't think he can win. He ran second in the race last year. I don't think he's going. He didn't get beat far, but I think he's a length behind that this time in. He's not getting any younger. You give him a chance, Fitz?
No, I was betting. If I was betting, I'd bet around him.
Fair enough. Let's go to Prognosis, who's obviously coming over from Japan. The best form line that I could see for Prognosis was when he ran second to Romantic Warrior over in Hong Kong about 6 months ago. He got a tendency to miss the kick, which does him no favours. The jockey on that occasion took off, sat very wide. He only got beta length. So if you're lining them up, you would have him off that run roughly the same as Romantic Warrior. The thing that worries me a little bit about Prognosis is this is his first start in Australia, and we saw what Romantic Warrior did on how much he improved from his first start to his second start in Australia. So I do think Prognosis is a definite chance. He's a seven-year-old that's very lightly raced and only had 15 starts.
Can I tell you one interesting thing about Prognosis? Glenn Munsey put something up about Ladbroke's hold, and at the moment, of their entire hold, 5% of the money has been on Prognosis.
Yeah, how much on Jenny would be, obviously.
I'll tell you, Jenny
will be their worst way by far. Prognosis, what did you make of him, Fitz?
Yeah, I went and watched that same replay as you did. I think he has the tendency to get back in his races anyway. He did miss the kick in that one you were talking about in Hong Kong, but I think as a whole, they dropped that horse out pretty much every start anyway. I thought it was the horse to beat. I think the Japanese stayers are superior to our stayers. I thought that run was just ginormous and probably should have beaten Romantic Warrior on that occasion given the circumstances. The jockey, I don't know what he was thinking, taking off mid-race four wide and then sat there. It was a super odd ride. But you know what? Damien Lane, I don't think will make that sort of mistake, and I think it's the horse to beat in the
race. D-Lane is definitely a plus, I agree. Let's talk about Jenny, who just got knocked off last week, over 1,600, backing up 7 days later, over 2,040 metres. I think it's too big an ask over 2,040. I think the value or suit's a big tick, but the 2,040 in a Cox Plate, I think the last 100 metres will see her out, but she just always continues to surprise. So I'm against Pride of Jenny. What do you say, Fitz?
Yeah, I was a little bit concerned with the way she actually got defeated last weekend. The 7 day backup she has done before, but it was 1600 into a 1600 meter race. This time up, she's got to step up another 400 meters to 440 to get around the Moonee Valley circuit. Now, yes, she's suited around the valley, but every time I was doing the maps, it had Royal Patronage and Docklands both hunting up to sort of give her a bit of a hard time in front. Whether or not that just all gets blown out of the water and she does what Jenny does and rolls 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 in front, that it's yet to be seen. But, yeah, I'm a little bit with you, Kings. I got a feeling that Via Sestina and Prognosis are the two to beat in this race.
Broadsiding, I thought, it's interesting that Jamie Carr will probably go back, but they may have a temptation to sort of punch forward from barrier 8 and maybe sort of try and get in fourth or fifth and sit a bit closer. I think broadsiding is a definite chance. 2,000 metres to 2040, we don't know how broadsiding is going to go off that, but certainly he looks like he'll get the 2,040, 49.5 kilos. I'm not backing him, but I definitely think he's a chance. How did you rate broadsiding?
Well, yeah, I had a bet on broadsiding $11 when he lost the guineas. Just because I thought it was overs, and
you snapped
I guess
that up straight away, didn't you?
Yeah, I just thought I didn't mind the run. Everyone wants to give it grief. I thought the run was pretty good from broadsiding. I don't think the track suited that day, and there's a lot of upside there. But I'm not 100%. I'm leaning towards the top two in the market in this race.
And just before we move on, so the Ladbrokes book, 49% of the money was on Pride of Jenny.
Right.
I think next best backed was broadsiding as about 15% okay. of the money.
Yeah, fair enough.
It's
and we saw
the public just love Jenny, aren't they? Just
yeah,
can't
well,
enough.
Remember Vo Rogue in the day yeah. used to go out by that far. I mean, it's so good for racing.
It is.
Which takes us to my pick and my
Here
bet in the race. Via Sestina. Now, we saw what happened on, was it Tuesday, where Via yes. Sestina came off.
And, yeah.
Came off.
Got
James McDonald came
band,
off.
Band yeah. came loose. She got scared. She did three laps of the circuit with no jockey on board. But the good news is you found this actually. It was a good find by you. Here's some footage of her physio with her. I think it was just Tuesday afternoon. Gave her the all clear. You've heard, you know, mail from the camp is that she's completely fine and she will be going around for sure on Saturday.
Yeah, I've read that. As she went to Wednesday, she went to the beach. Thursday, she galloped at Moonee Valley, and she's fine. Yeah, the camp's pretty confident, and she's ready to go. Let's talk about the form for Via. I don't think that'll affect her at all. So let's talk about the form for Via Sestina. In Australia, 5 runs, 3 wins. Let's talk about the two failures, which were both behind Pride of Jenny. Mm. One was in the Queen Elizabeth over the same distance, virtually 2,000 metres. I'm a bit of a query on that form, as in the time that Pride of Jenny ran in that race wasn't exceptional. It was a really strange race where she went out by so far and nothing took it up to her. Via Sestina did run second in that race. The other failure was at Caulfield two starts ago on a heavy 8. We've spoken about Wallace second up. You can forgive though. I think you can forgive those two runs. I'm prepared to give Via Sestina one more go, especially after what she did defeating Buckaroo, and we saw what Buckaroo did in the Caulfield Cup last week. So I'm very confident. I think Ladbrokes are $4. There is better out there than $4 at the moment. There is $4.40. I'm prepared to wait even on the $4.40. There was $5.50 bet on Wednesday, so it's gone $5.50 into $4.40. I think she'll end up around that $4.80, $4.60, $4.80 mark. I'm pretty confident. I think she should be favourite. J-Mac to get his 100th Group 1 winner. A real Cinderella story after what happened on Tuesday. And Via Sestina is an official Saturday set tip.
Very good. You're warming us right up. Anything else to say, Fizz, or should
Nothing
we move
much
on?
To add to that. I've sort of said what I wanted to say. So, yep.
Very good.
Via
right,
Sestina.
We're going to move to Moonee Valley Race 5, which is a bit of a Cox Plate consolation, we could call it. It's the JRA Cup, over 2,040 metres. Kingswood, an interesting horse, two starts back. $67 into $9 and got the money in here at Lobbs on Cox Plate Day, a dominant favourite. What do you make of it?
I think Kings was definitely the horse to beat, and two from two won the Kunji last start.
Mm.
After going to Gavin Bedgood, Good's gone completely to a new level. Mm. Drawn barrier one, got the best figures, looks to have plenty of upside. 235, yeah, it's probably they're not sort of, you know, giving us anything too generous. So I'd probably wait on the price. I'm not diving into 235, but it is a bet for me. Not an official Saturday set tip, but looks hard to beat. What do you say, Fizz?
Yeah, top pick, hard race. Going off its last two, it wins this race. If it turns up and does what it did, looks to me like it gets a good run from inside barrier two. Can even hunt up and lead. I thought the other horses behind in the marketplace, Future History, Gear Up, second to none. Gear Up meets Future History better at the weights than when they met two starts back. Gear Up went to 2,400, didn't seem to run it out, back to the 2,000 suits. The rest of them I'm not really interested in. If I had to bet, I'd be on the four Kingswood.
Very good. We're going to stay at the 2,040 metre distance. We're going to go to Moonee Valley Race 6. And we have the Vars, one of the great races always on Cox Plate Day, for those VRC Derby hopefuls. Pretty open market, firm agreement in there. We had a good chat with Rob Archibald about firm agreement from the Annabelle Neesham stable. They're reasonably confident. It's actually dual accepted up in Sydney as well, so it'd be interesting to see where it goes. I think they were leaning towards Melbourne. What did you make of it?
I think it's a pretty hard race, this one. You've got Red Aces and Firm Agreement both going to 2,000. For the first time, they both look like really nice horses. If I was going to bet in the race, which I'm not, I would be having something on politely done. What worries me, it looks like a real nice stayer in the making. What worries me a bit, I don't know if Moonee Valley's its track, 2,000 metres. it's very hard getting back at Moonee Valley and winning, especially on a you know good hard fast track. It wouldn't surprise me if Moonee Valley is leaderish. There's definitely an advantage overall to be on pace at Moonee Valley, you know, with that sweeping short straight. I thought opening address number 7 had a chance at odds as well. Seemed like the overs in the race, but no bet race for me.
Okay, Fizz?
Yeah, I wasn't very interested at all. I found this race quite tough. I had the one actually top pick, but very, very closely followed by 2, 3, and 4. Mm-hmm. So realistically, I'd have to draw a line on all the roughies on that page, but this is a type of race that maybe a roughie wins, so I'm probably completely wrong. Look, I like the run of I didn't love the run of Red Aces. I could happily bet around it. Firm Agreement's run was good against, I'd say, probably better opposition what it's going to face there, but has to step up another 200 metres to the 2,000. Politely Done looks the stayer in the making. 2,000 metres gobbled it up last start at Ballarat Maiden, though, mind you. And the one that I did have top pick, the one, is actually a maiden coming into this race. So, look, no interest in betting whatsoever.
Cool. All right, let's move on. We're going to go to Moonee Valley Race 7, the McEwen Stakes. Normally it's at the start of the spring, but it was moved to Cox Plate to make way for the Manicato. The sprinters go at it, and it looked like there's quite a few in-form sprinters in this race.
Yeah, I this is a race I do want to bet in. I've got two bets in the race. I'll start with the first one, which is Oscar's Fortune, which is going to punch forward. Big run first up behind Bellatrix Star. We know how good it's going. 2 from 2 second up. Will be on pace, which I think is very important in this race. The other horse that I'm going to have something on, which Ladbrokes put up $21, is Extra 2, which has been backed into, what's Extra into now? $14. Barrier 1, which might sit a little bit closer. Barrier 1 gets J-Mac on, C-Mar. What a great combination that is. I just thought has a chance at odds. I'll just quickly talk about Mornington Glory. I think needs a spell. Mm-hmm. Not going as good. Been up for a long time. I don't think Mornington Glory will be in the first sort of two. Probably sit fourth or fifth again. I Am Unstoppable was an enormous run first up. Don't think Moonee Valley's I Am Unstoppable's track at all. Going to get too far back. I thought the dangers are Barrakeel, but you can't back them all. For me, sure. Oscar's Fortune and Extra 2.
If we did want to steer people in a bit of direction, we can. So Clint Hutchison, Hutchie, who's part of our punters pot on Saturday, we're running a punters pot in the Ladbrokes Mates mode. He's tipped Oscar's Fortune as his best bet. So we are.
Well, he can find a winner, Hutchie.
He can. And while we're filming, we've actually jammed a bet into Ladbrokes on Oscar's Fortune. So that would, yeah, we will be cheering for Oscar's Fortune on the day. Fizz, what else do you have to add?
I too have found Oscar's Fortune. I'm going to, I've already had a bet on it and I'm going to have more on, but I'd love them to lead on this horse. I really think that the mistake they might have made last start was not going to the front. Mm-hmm. It got beaten by a better one, fair and square, last start at every hope. But I'm saying lead this race is my opinion. I'd love it to go to the front. Barrakeel is the danger. Mornington Glory don't want to be on it at 1,200 metres, same as last start. Happy to lay it. Didn't find I Am Unstoppable, and I just want to back Oscar.
As always, AI is free on Saturday and also tomorrow night at Moonee Valley. Make sure you take advantage of that. We are live streaming. We have live streaming tomorrow night and then also on Saturday. We're doing one on Friday night, short and sharp, talk a lot about the next day's racing, and then it'll be all on Saturday. And as I said before, we are running a Mates Mode pot with Ladbrokes. Go and get involved in that. It's a lot of fun. Small buy and you'll have a lot of fun. And then come and watch it all unfold on the live stream. This episode is brought to you by our good friends at Ladbrokes. Join Ladbrokes today and support the show by using the code GALLOP. Take on the fun this spring carnival with the Ladbrokes app, loaded with the best racing features, including bet ticker, so you can see where the big bets land, yard comments to give you the on-course insight straight from the parade ring, and black book so you can add your favourite runners and get notified before they race. So take on the fun and Ladbroke it this spring carnival. Chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website. With that out of the way, we need to move to Randwick, where, of course, there's still good racing.
Yes.
We're going to start with the Group 1 Spring Champion Stakes, 2,000 metres, more three-year-olds with Derby aspirations. This would be definitely a stronger form race than the Vase down in Melbourne. You don't need to look much further than seeing Firm Agreement there at $16. It was, I can't remember what it was, $360 or $380 or something in the Vase at $16 there. So that tells us that this seems like a much stronger form line. One last thing too, Harlem Queen's an interesting one. Won a class one at Kembla last two starts back. Then ran second to Lady Shenandoah in the Flight Stakes. And here it is solidly in the market with the spring champion.
Mm. hard race, I thought. So last start, El Costello beat Swift Falcon. Swift Falcon's probably the best horse in the race, but what worries me about Swift Falcon is the map. Got a jump from 11, barrier 11, the 2,000 metres at Randwick could pose a problem. It's going to have to go right back, whereas you've got El Costello who's going to punch forward and probably sit second. So El Costello sort of gets the favours. The other interesting horse there is Henline, which gets barrier 1. I think will be a huge advantage for Henline. He drew barrier 11 last start and had to go right back as well, so could sit a little bit closer. The only bet price-wise I could have off that is 420 El Costello, but it's a no-bet race for me.
Okay, Fizz?
Yeah, I backed El Costello this morning. That, to me, is the horse that gets all the favours in this race, with Swift Falcon getting right back again from the gate. Henline can utilise gate one and maybe sit a bit closer than what it did last start, but still going to be stuck back somewhere on the fence, while El Costello will be out there running along in front and doing its thing. And everyone will spot the run of Swift Falcon last start and think, oh, get on the red flashing light, run, get on it.
Yes.
But it's going to have to do the same thing, and it's going to have to run it down extra 200 metres, yes. Sure. El Costello, top pick from Swift Falcon for me in this race.
Very good. Let's keep rolling. Randwick Race 8, the Invitation, a $2 million race for the fillies and mares. I looked at this and thought, wow, that's a tough, tough race.
You're not wrong.
It is a tough race. I've written here, this is a race of forgive runs. So Zugotcha behind Fangirl over 1,600. I do like back to 1,400. It gets a tongue tie on, which is interesting. And also maps very well. Magic Time. Magic Time's actually will improve running fourth down in Melbourne. Magic Time's highest ever rating, I think, is the 1,400 all-age stakes at Randwick. So same course, same distance, highest rating. Always like that setup. So should improve as well off his first up run. Macarena, which I know Smalley likes as well.
Yeah, it's his official Saturday set. 18 bet.
Bit of early mail.
Yep.
Complete forgive run last time, sat wide with no cover. And the horse which isn't in that category, which I'm against, is number 5, Alentia, who had everything go its way last start. Mm-hmm. So it's a no-bet race for me, but you know, those are my thoughts. I thought Zugotcha was probably the one to beat, but I'm staying out.
You'll be cheering Macarena on for the pot and
absolutely.
Also for Smalley.
Absolutely.
It was Zugotcha was the only one that only one of the horses in the market that's going to push forward. Every other horse in the market there, the $3 shots range, are all the other ones are going back. So interesting map for this race. I found this extremely hard, like Rich said. Arctic Glamour, I thought, was a massive run last start. If it drew a gate, that was in the Epsom. If it drew a gate in this race, I would have had a really good crack at decent odds. Mm-hmm. I'd probably have something on it still each way. But other than that, didn't love Alentia, like King said. Had every hope last start. Waller's horses tend to digress second up. Might be the case here, might not. Zugotcha, I wasn't really willing to forgive. I watched its trial and I'm not willing to forgive it. After it ran last start, mm-hmm. I might be wrong there again. But anyway, for me, Magic Time's the horse to beat. Arctic Glamour, a good roughie.
Fair enough. Before we wrap up, Sydney, I just want to remind you, with the Annabelle set we recorded yesterday with Rob Archibald, great insight, very popular. Go and check it out if you want to have a bit of a deeper understanding about all their horses. They have a lot of very good horses running on Saturday and Saturdays beyond. And with that out of the way, it's time for your official Saturday set.
It's official Cox Plate Saturday set time. I thought it was a sort of quite a hard day across the country. So my first official Saturday set was in the WS Cox Plate, being Via Sestina. Then we go to Sydney Race 9, number 12, Territory Express. There's a heap of pace in this race. Territory Express, which didn't have a hell of a lot of luck first up, will get back, sort of midfielder back, drawn out in barrier 13, which I don't mind, and will be charging down the middle of the track with Zachy Lloyd on. So I think you can get $6.50 or $7 out there, which I think is a good price.
Very good.
My third and final official Saturday set tip, which I match up with the Fizzer on, is Morphaville Race 9, number 4, Surprise Coming, which had absolutely no luck last start.
Well, why don't we have a look at that video?
Yeah, gets a lovely run. You want to take it away, Fitz?
Yeah, no worries. So this was last weekend, actually. So we get a seven-day backup. So this horse, the main thing is not just the held up that I'm looking for in a horse like this. I'm looking for what happens after it gets held up. So see how it's basically got nowhere to go.
Yep.
Then right on the line, if you have a look, it takes ground off the other horses still, after being held up. He's not even riding it.
It was to a jog, wasn't it?
Oh yeah. I'm just hoping that Rochelle Milne gets it, gives it a good run. I think it's drawn barrier eight. She's going to have to try and work to get somewhere just behind the speed, I reckon, from what I looked at. But I think if she, if that horse brings that run into this race, it can win this race. And it looks a decent bet around the 480 mark.
So three officials for me, Via Sestina, Territory Express and Surprise Coming.
Great work. Over to you for your official Saturday
okay,
set.
Okay, no worries. So we're starting Dooman. I've gone to race nine, number eight, a horse called Espresso. This horse is second up, Van Dyke Stable. I liked its run first up and it steps up to a really suitable distance. Has a great track and distance record over this 1110-metre race. I think it's a really good chance. Then I'm going to go to Morpheville, race four, number eight. I found a horse called Burning Bright. It looks severe overs to me this morning at $11. I see Ladbrokes have pushed it out to 12. So more than happy to have a good bet on this. This each way is a really good bet, I think. It should push forward and be very, very hard to beat. I'm going to Morpheville, race six, number five, a horse called Zakana. I think it's improved this preparation. So it's at one last start. It ran really well first up and I think it'll continue on its merry way this weekend. Surprise Coming, we've talked about, race nine, number four, and then I've got one more.
I like this one. This is
Moonee
one
Valley. Like. We're going to finish them off there at the Valley in the comp. The potty comp. Moonee Valley, race 10, number six, a horse called Firestorm. Waller bringing this one up. He ran it in the Epsom. Bringing this horse down, sorry, to Melbourne. He ran in the Epsom. The start prior, it won over 1,900 and was just a great run. So it excites me. It has turn of foot. I think the 2,040 metres is going to be very much to its liking. I'm very keen.
All right, we've got to keep moving. So here is the A-team set. I won't read them out, but we put them up there so it's long enough for people to have a bit of a look and write them down. There's Dan O. Then we move on to who is next. There's Dream Team Taylor.
Mm. That's another bet for the pot.
That's another bet for the pot. There's Smalley, another bet for the pot. And we move on to Junior, and he's getting set on a Friday. He can't wait for Saturday. So
no.
Getting in early.
Fair enough. Quickly, let's do accountability. We won't spend too long on it because it gets a bit boring. There it is. Not a pretty picture up top. Very pretty picture down low. But you will prevail, King Zone. Let's go to A-team accountability. There it is. And King Zone, you might want to have a little rest now, Fizzer, because we're going to talk about the national tote. So Gil McLaughlin, Gil McLaughlin yesterday, the new CEO of Tabcorp. Mm-hmm. Might wonder why we're going to talk about Tabcorp in this show. Well, he came out and was quite forceful saying, we need a national tote. It's a priority for Tabcorp. It's a priority for me. I'm going to make it happen. They're even talking about trying to make it happen in early 2025. Yeah, as one of the more experienced gamblers in this country, mm-hmm. you've always been very vocal about the tote. How did you feel after hearing those comments from Gil McLaughlin?
I mean, I've always thought there should be a national tote sort of for the last sort of, I don't know, 5+ years. And the reason being is that the pools are just so small. So if you're a recreational punter and you go and put a bet through the tote, obviously affects your dividend a lot. You back a winner or hit a quaddie or get a dividend. It's a big turnoff if you're not getting the dividend, especially on the other two totes that someone didn't give. So you're affecting your price so badly that recreational punters can no longer bet into the tote because the pools on the majority of like greyhound races, trot races, and a lot of the you know horse races are just so very small. The other reason is the whole sort of tote system with corporate bookies is broken. So corporate bookies bet best of tote with SP. A lot of them on horse racing. A lot of them bet best tote without SP. They don't actually want to bet best tote. Mm. They just do it because everyone else does it. Mm. But the way that it's structured now, they have to win sort of 8% on turnover for a client to be viable. If somebody bets best tote on every favourite, they're going to lose roughly, say, 4% on turnover. The corporate bookie doesn't actually want that client. They're no good to them. So the corporate bookie's making no money out of it. Mm-hmm. What I would love to see is all the money that goes through corporate bookies going straight back into the pools and the corporate bookies then rewarded, or on-course bookie or anyone who's allowed to bet totes is rewarded with a commission, whatever that commission is, I don't know. Yep. But, you know, paying no tax on those bets or paying a small amount of tax, but they get a commission back. It's basically acting as a commission agent for the tote. That'll bring pools up.
What about us punters, though? Like if we're going from best tote, betting in, so best tote's what, say 108, 110%, right? And then it's suddenly going to be at 118%. How do we, if the bookies are getting rewarded with the rebate, what do us punters get?
Well, it just comes down to how much you know, the TAB are willing to give the corporate bookies. If they're willing to give them sort of 8 or 10%, I would assume that then there would the trade-off would be how much each corporate bookie boosts the tote dividend, basically, to give back to them, so or maybe
like tote plus 5%.
Yeah, it might be tote plus whatever, 5 or 10%, and that's where they trade rather than trading sort of best tote with SP.
But the number one rule, I presume, is that all money that comes from the corporates has to go into the tote. We can't have this situation where corporate bookmakers take the money and hold on to it. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I think that'd be great for everyone because a corporate bookie, well, the way it's structured at the moment with best tote, they don't actually want those bets. It's really no good to them. But I think if they are going to go to a national tote, it's not – and we've seen it with the World Pool. Oh, yeah, it's so great. There's one pool. Well, it's not really, as you just said, it's not really that great unless there's a bit more value or a bit of excitement at least. Like World Pool's got more percentage, 3 to 5, you know, extra percent in it. And we saw the dividends last Saturday were that's not going to cut it for people. That's not going to excite people. That's not going to get people betting. So if it does happen, I'm not saying that this needs to happen every race, but they need to seed some of these pools with big jackpots like we used to see with the Superfecta and a big six with $1 million or $2 million jackpot, and you'd actually get your money back through because it will attract more turnover. Also, the TAB, when they were trying to promote, they used to have 110% days where the takeout would be a lot less. So they need promotions. No good saying, yes, we're going to go to a national tote. We need a national tote with something to get excited about and not just, oh, it's one pool, because that won't really cut it. There needs to be something behind it as well. And they can do so much with it as well. There's so much, instead of putting money into bonus bets and everything else, put a bit of money into the pool and get people back betting.
And that's a cool bit into that product. He thinks it's a fantastic product. And what I quite like about Gill is he's not afraid to make some big changes. I was just thinking about it, like we've got some, you know, people in high places. You've got Jason Scott, who we know well up in Queensland. He's not afraid to call a spade and make some big decisions. Aaron, who's just come in racing Victoria, seems the same way. He's not afraid to make some big decisions, which we have to do. Of course, his PVL as well is not afraid to make a big decision. So, yeah, hopefully we can push the industry forward in a better direction, because it seems like for the last 10 or 15 years, nothing's happened around the tote. It's just been left to wither on the vine. No one's been willing to make a decision. And it's good that Gill's come in and said, let's do this. Because to me, it's always felt like it's not that hard to do. Just form a national tote, get on with it. You know?
I think everyone's got one. There's obviously more than this goal, but everyone's got one common goal, and that's to increase wagering turnover. And I think people are starting to realise that, and we've got a few new guys in who will do a fantastic job, and it's not an easy job either, but
you wouldn't want it for all the money in the world, would you?
No. But, you know, smart guys, and I love the way Gill started.
Very good.
And Aaron.
Yep. All right, we're close to wrapping up, but first thing before we do that, a few things to talk about. 10,000 views. We hit 10,000 views last week. Very humbling, very appreciative. If you are out there and watching and you're not subscribed to us, go and hit subscribe, because we produce a lot of content outside of the Saturday set. It's all very high quality, and then you'll get notifications when our other pieces of content come out. And if you do like what we're doing, don't be afraid to flick a text to a mate and say, hey, I reckon these guys do a pretty good job. You should give them a bit of support. Helps us to do what we're trying to do. With that out of the way, we're just about ready to finish. Tonight, what I'm going to do to pump up for the Cox Plate is I have not watched the Winx documentary yet. A Horse Named Winx is the movie.
Sensational.
But when I was watching the Waller Show yesterday, they said that it had just dropped on Stan. So if you've got Stan, I do. I like having it for the rugby. Go and watch the Winx show, the Winx movie. I'll be doing that tonight. I'm going to pour myself a nice drink, sit back and watch it.
Went to the movies and watched it.
You did. Yeah,
it was very good.
So I'm looking forward to doing that. Fizz, anything to add? We sort of left you out, mate.
No, all good. I'm just sitting here listening and agreeing and nodding.
Good. All right, and I always like to leave you with a bit of a pump up. And this week, many of you have already seen this lovely little short, sharp piece of content about J-Mac going after his 100th Group 1 win, narrated by Damien Oliver and Glenn Boss.
Yeah, well.
Most of you would have seen it, but if you have seen it, you'll be happy to watch it again. It's only short, but it will definitely pump you up for WS Cox Plate Day. It's all in front of it, all in front of us, and we are all over it. We'll see you Friday night. We'll see you Saturday. Let's go up the den. How good's a great game?
The Great Valley. Our valley.
The stage of some of our greatest moments.
That sound.
They are ready. They're racing.
The roar.
Little three-year-old.
I can still hear it. Feel it. The Ladbrokes Cox Plate.
Normally wins a Cox Plate.
There's no other race quite like it. We've both had our time to rule this arena.
Well, he knew what he was doing.
Champion rider Damien Oliver.
Now it's his turn.
And James McDonald.
Too often, we don't appreciate greatness until it's a page in the history books.
Greatness! Winks has done it! Come of the hour! Come of the legend!
But there's no mistaking what we're witnessing in this moment.
He's got the fire.
And the grit.
Just how far into the history books will he go?
It's been a thrill to watch.
But you can feel it, can't you?
The weight of expectation.
When the spotlight is thrown upon you.
When the hunter becomes the hunter.
There's no escaping that. That's the burden of success.
He's square with my two plates. Now he's coming for you. He's the present.
Future.
And inevitably, a part of history as one of the greats.
If not, the greatest of us all.
Time will tell.